Fun to be able to see faces that we know, faces that we remember, seeing what God is doing and celebrating a new life. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Remember to continue to pray for the Schaefers and for all of our missionary families. As you may have heard over the last couple of months, that the Alliance has had to do a 10% cut to all of our international workers. And so most of them are still on the field, still doing the work that they went to do, just having to do it with a little bit lower budget. And so continue to pray for that. Do want to let you know in regard to that, that there has been a donor with the Christian and Missionary Alliance that has said that he would match up to $250,000 of giving. And so as the Alliance family gives to the Great Commission Fund, they will match. So if you would like to give in that way, all you need to do is in your giving, make sure that you specify that it is for the Great Commission Fund and that it would go to helping the mission of the name of Jesus Christ going around the globe and be a part of that. Before I get started, I want to, as I said, technology is always fun. It's always interesting. You never know what you're going to get. And for those that are joining with us online, we want to apologize. We're finding out that the Facebook Live is doing things sideways today. And so I don't know if they're looking at us this way or this way, one or the other. We will work to make sure that we have that fixed for next week for sure. But thanks for joining with us. We have a group online as well. If you're interested, you could always go on to Facebook and you can look and see what's happening, some of the comments and why we're sideways and all of that. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like to a degree we almost need to reintroduce ourselves. It has been this has been a crazy few months for all of us, I know. And for our family, you know, we arrive in January and then in March, everything's on lockdown. And all of a sudden there, we were just getting to know people, getting to be able to put faces with names. And all of a sudden now, then it goes underground with that. So to a degree, and you also notice that we're not doing the name tags for this week. So that doesn't help things out. Again, that's a reason to try to help minimize contact. As the time goes on, we will be reinstituting some of these things that we miss and that we would like to have. But yeah, feel free to reintroduce yourselves after the service, get reacquainted a little bit. But what a joy it is to be back together to worship live. We've been doing the videos over the past couple of weeks. It's been really strange because there it is, you're giving a message to nobody, and it's very different. It was odd, so it's nice to be able to see faces and to be able to connect in that way, but we're excited today. Well, we've also been going through the book of Philippians over the past few months, but for today I figured probably we should do something different, and the reason for that is twofold. Number one, we get to be able to come back together, and the reason why we wouldn't go in Philippians is it doesn't have the same celebration feel to it, what we're going to be talking about next. You could probably look ahead, and next week we're going to be talking about giving. And so, as you can see, the first week back together talking about giving doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun and exciting in that, but it is God's Word, so we'll get back into that next week. But for this week, we wanted to celebrate. We wanted to celebrate God for who He is, His faithfulness, His goodness, and His love. As a kid growing up, there was a song that we used to sing, and maybe you know it. It's the one that goes, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. All right. You know that one too. This was a song, we sang it all the time as a kid, but the words, as simple as they are very powerful words. God is so good. And this morning we want to celebrate. There's a lot of things that we could probably say over the past 2 months. Again, if you've been on Facebook or any kind of social media, you have seen a lot of comments about what has been going on. Some of these comments have been rather poignant. Some have been negative. Some have been incredible. There have been comments about the way that God has been going and leading through these journeys, these times, how God has been blessing. And so you see the different things. Even in darkness, God's light still shines. And we get to experience that. On Wednesday nights, if you haven't joined us, we're going to still do it probably a couple of weeks, but we've been doing Wednesday night live on Facebook Live, and we've been talking about the other side, or on the other side, and what it's talking about is this journey that we've been going through, but it's not just looking to the end, to the today moment, or when everything is finally released and opened up, but what we've been talking about is how do we live during this time so that when we are on the other side, we come out looking more like Jesus. It's a journey. And part of this process that I ask those who are watching to continue to watch for are moments where God is at work, where Jesus has been doing something. Have you been learning anything through this time? You know, in all things, God is teaching us, isn't he? And so God has been teaching us during this time. I saw the question that was asked at one time. It says, what have you learned during the coronavirus 2020? And I love the answer. The answer that I saw was, I learned that Bigfoot's name was Daryl. Now, if you're saying, I have no clue what you're talking about, there's a commercial, a Progressive commercial. Just look it up. You'll get it. But we're learning amazing things through this time, aren't we? We're learning things about our family that maybe we'd forgotten. Because for all of the years, we've been going through life in one way, and all of a sudden, there we are in our homes together. Maybe you've learned things about God during this time that because of all of the busyness leading up to this, all of a sudden, here you're seeing God in a whole different light because you're opening up the Word of God. Maybe more than you've ever done before. You're having conversations that you haven't had. You have all of these things. And all of a sudden, what we've been talking about in Philippians becomes real. Paul has said time and time again in the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we can celebrate who God is. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to invite you to join with me in your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. This is a great psalm of praise. Psalm 100. And if you're in the sanctuary, I believe it's page 416 or right around there. Or is it 816? Something like that. 416? All right, thank you. 416. Psalm 100. Let's read this psalm together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So really this morning, we're going to answer two questions, and they're really simple questions. This is not a deep morning at all. It's just a morning to celebrate. But the two questions are simply this. Why should we celebrate God? And the second question is, how? How should we celebrate God? It's a really good question to ask ourselves is why should we celebrate? Let me ask you, did you come into the sanctuary with thanksgiving today? Did you come in with a heart of praise and gladness? Can I ask you why? You know, what's interesting is we can easily come to the place of saying, well, it's because that we've been given the green light to come together and worship, which is great. We do celebrate that. But you know, the reality of it is, if that's the reason why we're celebrating the goodness of God, then we've really missed something. Because for the last 2 months, God has been good all along. Amen? Today is just another time where God is good. And actually, we get to celebrate beyond. But in this psalm that we see, there are several different reasons why why we can celebrate God. And we're just going to quick go through these. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on any of them, but just to kind of list these out. So if you have a paper and a pen, whatever, you can write these down, and you can go through them even again later. But the first one, I love it, that the psalmist says that He is our God. He is our God. What a great concept that is. He's not just a God, He is our God. And as a matter of fact, in Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. And we are His the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." You know, I love that statement. There's a difference between saying that God is God and God is our God. Because there's a whole lot of implications that come. I can say God is God, and that doesn't impact me at all. But if I say God is our God, do we understand the implications? One of those things is that He is our Maker. He made us. God made us. He created us. You know, it's interesting. I brought a little object with me today. What this is this is a cup. Every once in a while, my family and I would like to go down to a place called glaze. What glaze is you get a piece of pottery or something like this, and you paint it. And what's the neat thing, when you paint it, you look at it, and you kind of go, that's a weird-looking thing. It doesn't look that great. But then it goes through the kiln and the glazing process, and then it comes out, and you can't wait to see it a couple of weeks later when it's done. Now, imagine with me that you made something. It has value to you, doesn't it? And that's one of the things that we see in this idea. In Psalm 100, verse 3, He says that He made us. We are His. And what an incredible thought that is. I love Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is such a comforting psalm. I don't know if you've ever read that before, but it's one of those psalms that when you are feeling alone, when you're feeling distant, when you're feeling down, you kind of wonder, is God even there at times? Psalm 139 is such a powerful one. I encourage you to read the whole thing, but look at what verses 13 and 14 say. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Isn't this an amazing thought? God made you. God made you unique. God made you special. And as a result, because God created you much greater than a cup, you are God's prized possession. Go back to this for a moment. To most of you, you could care less about a football cup. Why? Because you didn't make it. It doesn't mean anything to you, right? But as the one who made this, man, I kind of like this cup. It's one of my possessions. It's one of the things that I put time and effort into. God created you, and you are one of His prized possessions. He loves you more than anything else. And this is such an incredible thought for us to have. God isn't just going to throw you away. He loves you. We are His prized possession. We have His unfailing love. You know, one of the things with a situation like this is, you know eventually where this is going to go? Back on the shelf, right? No. Someday it's no longer going to exist. I'm going to drop it. It might fall and break. But you know, the great thing about God is this. His love is an unfailing love. His love doesn't change. He doesn't love you any more today because you were able to come to church. He doesn't love you any less if you are unable to do the things that you want to do, if you make a mistake in life. His love doesn't change based on our circumstances. His love is the same. You read through the book of Psalms and you will see Psalm 107 verse 1 repeated time and time and time again. This is one of those times. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures for the moment." No. His love endures forever. This is the great thing of our God. Why do we celebrate our God? Because His love never fails. It never changes. And as a result, we see God's faithfulness. His unfailing love points to this one attribute, that God will always remain faithful. He will never put us on the back shelf. He will never go to the place where He says, the promises that I have given to you, I'm not going to follow through on. You know, the reality of life is this. You and I, while we try as hard as we can to be faithful, are any one of us completely faithful? No. There has times in our lives where we fall through, don't we? For example, you maybe set up a time where you're going to meet with somebody and your car breaks down. You're not able to make it. In school, remember, you had homework assignments and you didn't get the homework assignment in. Why not? Because the dog ate your homework. Got a flat tire. I was late. There's always a reason, but we cannot be 100% fully faithful. And that's the one thing about God. He is forever faithful. Now understand what this means. If God is forever faithful, that means that every promise that we read in this book, He will accomplish. You realize when it says that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to its purpose, that's a promise that will come through. When He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. These are the plans of God, the promises of God. Will He follow through? Absolutely. You know, the one that I'm really excited about is the one where Jesus said, I will return. And I will come to take you to be with me. I go to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. These are the promises. Isn't this great to know that no matter what, whether you're stuck at home, whether you're able to go out, whether you're living in fear, which we shouldn't be living in fear because we trust in the God of all. But if we're living in this moment, this time, the one thing that we can always hold on to is God will be faithful no matter what. His faith, His promises will never, ever go undone. Isn't that great to know? That is a reason to celebrate. I want you to look with me at another psalm, Psalm 23. You may know this one, Psalm 23. Because we see a couple of other important things of why we can celebrate our God. In a few Bibles, it's 382. Psalm 23, look at what it says. See if you can pick out the reasons why you can praise and celebrate God. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths, the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see a few of them in there? You know, when you think about it, here's three that I pulled out that kind of encompass. We celebrate God because He is our provider. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He is the one who gives us all that we have. Now, let me put it this way. Do you realize your employer is not your provider? The government is not your provider. You are not your provider. Sometimes we lose the picture of that. Sometimes we go to the place where it's like, everything that I have because I did it. I've worked hard for that. Okay, there's true that we work hard, but who provided? God. God is our provider in all aspects of this. God is our provider. God is our provider of health. God is our provider of finances. God is our provider of joy. God is our provider of gladness. God is the ultimate provider. He is our shepherd. We shall not be in want. God is our protector. When you think about what he says, the psalmist says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, those are instruments of two things, the rod and the staff. One, they are for correction and guiding, but they're also for protection. That when the enemy would come, or the wolves, or when predators would come, the shepherd would ward off whatever predator was coming to try to take away his sheep. And so this is the one thing that we have. We understand that God is our ultimate protector. The fact that you're out this morning displays that. We live every moment in the reality that God is the one that holds our life in his hand. He's the one that chooses. The moment that our time here comes to an end and our time with him starts. He is the one who is our protector. You know, it's interesting because I'm sure that there are times in my life where God has protected and I've not even known it. Not even known it. I was out driving just the other day. I had to go pick up some things and went into a place. When I came out, there was a major accident at the intersection that I had been through just moments before. And who knows what a moment could have made? We don't know. God is our protector. God is our blesser. He blesses us. This is the heart of God. And this is what really is exciting. God loves to bless. Did you know that? I think sometimes we think God is the killjoy. He's the one that likes to take things from us. But do you understand? God loves to bless his children. As a matter of fact, when you read Psalm 23, he says this in several different ways. He says, number one, you anoint my head with oil. Anointing someone's head with oil was a symbol or a sign of honor. God anoints our head. He honors us. He loves to do that. My cup runs over. What is that? God loves to bless his children. Now, I want to be careful that we don't get into the whole health and wealth, prosperity, gospel things, but understand, God does love to bless us. There are times in our lives where God blesses beyond what we could ever imagine. Do you remember the song? There's a hymn that you used to sing again as I was a kid growing up in church. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. You know, that's a great practice to get into. To remember and recite the things that God has blessed us with. Folks, there are so many times that God has blessed in ways that we could never have ever asked or imagined. Because God is good. The goodness of God, he loves to bless his children. He loves to bless those who serve him. So, why do you celebrate him today? My hope is that your reasons fall in line with Psalm 100 and Psalm 23, those very reasons. But the next question that must come up is simply this. How then do we effectively celebrate God? How do we go about doing this? You know, one of the things that we often say is when we celebrate God, we do it by singing, which that's one way. But one of the things that we actually see, there are two main points that I want to put in with this on how we celebrate. Back to Psalm 100, when we look at the Psalm 100 passage, we see that they give us a couple of ways. The first one is simply this, in our attitude. We celebrate God in our attitude. Now that may be one that you didn't really know or you weren't really expecting to come, but we look at what he says here, and he says, first of all, let us have an attitude of gladness. When we celebrate God, is my attitude an attitude of gladness? Do I come before him with that joy, with that excitement? Because understand, we have something that the world doesn't have. We have something that this world is searching for. When I come into the presence of God, he is my maker, he's my creator, he loves me, he sustains me, he provides for me, he protects me, he does all of those things. Those are the things that I depend upon God for. And you know what? That brings such comfort and peace that my heart just wells up with gladness for what God is and what God does. we are to be glad. The second thing that he says there is that we are also to come in to his house or his gates with thanksgiving. You know, this is kind of a weird question, but did you thank God this morning? Did you say thank you for today? God, thank you that we get to worship you. Thank you that we get to breathe today, that we get to have life today. You know, we see this idea, but being thankful is very important. When we count our blessings and name them one by one, you know what happens naturally? You become thankful. Because all of a sudden we begin to see the goodness of God in our lives. Even in the moment, I challenge you to do this. Even in those moments where you're sitting there going, I don't even feel that God is anywhere near me. Just take a pen, sit down with a piece of paper, start writing out what blessings God has done in your life. And I can tell you, you'll start making that list and it'll change the way you begin to think. Thankful hearts celebrate God. There's also another one in Psalm 95 verses 1 and 6. The psalmist says this, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know, I love that picture. We don't do this in our services, but he says, let us kneel before our Maker. An attitude of humility in celebrating God. You know, sometimes we have this understanding that when we come before God to celebrate, it's got to be loud. It's got to be jumping up and down. It's got to be all. But do we understand that when we revere God for who God is, we celebrate Him in humility? Just being in the presence of God. You know, it was something when I was a kid, and I love it even more now. Whenever I get to spend time with my folks, I just like sitting with them. I don't have to be doing anything. Just be quiet. It is such a joy to be in the presence of the Lord. Whether He's here this morning, which we know He is, or He's at home, we can celebrate Him well with our attitudes. In the way we do it. There's a song that our family enjoys. I believe Mercy Me sings it. It's called Overwhelmed. And he talks about being overwhelmed by who God is. And this idea is that we come into the presence of the Almighty God. We come into the one, the creator of all things. He didn't just create us. He created everything around us. Am I overwhelmed by God's goodness? Or do I expect God to be good to me? There's a difference. You see, if I'm overwhelmed by God's goodness, my attitude is going to be one of humility, of thanks, of gladness. But if my attitude is that of God, He should be good to me, then it's going to be a different perspective. But do I come into the presence of God with gladness, with thanksgiving, and in humility? But there's another one as well. Because it's easy to just say, yep, I do that. But another thing that the psalmist puts in Psalm 100 is that we are to celebrate Him with our words. We need to verbalize our celebration. We need to verbalize our gratefulness, our thankfulness, our humility towards God. He says, give thanks. The psalmist says, sing joyfully. We are told to give thanks. So let me ask this question. What does it mean to give thanks? Have you ever just considered that simple question for a moment? What does it mean to give thanks? If somebody were to just walk up to you and go, hey, thank you, what would you do? For what? What are you thanking me for? You see, this is a part of it, is celebrating the goodness of God, is actually thanking Him for the things that He has done that we are aware of. I remember a story that I heard, and I've shared it a few times, but there was a husband was getting an earful from his wife. Now, this doesn't happen in any of your homes, right? The husband was getting an earful from the wife, and he's just, oh, here we go again. And she started talking. She goes, you know what? You never tell me that you love me. I tell you all the time that I love you, but I don't hear it from you. You never tell me that you love me. And it went on and on and on. And he was just, oh, can we please stop? And all of a sudden, when she had to take a breath, he jumped in and he said, honey, if you remember the day that we got married, I told you that I loved you then. And if anything changed, I would let you know. He said, well, nothing's changed. Okay, wives, does that work? No. No. As a matter of fact, every wife in here is going, good grief, no, that doesn't work. There has to be those words of affirmation. You need to hear those, right? You've got to know that someone loves you. You want to hear those words over and over again. So let me ask you this question. If we are created in the image of God, if we are created in the likeness of God, then why would God not want to hear His children tell Him what they're thankful for? Man, we have an opportunity. We can be thankful and let Him know. We read Psalm 95 a few moments ago. There's a couple of additional verses, verses 1 and 2. He says, come, let us sing for the joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Then in verse 6 and 7 again, we said, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. You know what I like about this is that these are corporate words. Come, let us together, let us sing. In just a moment, we're going to close with a song, one that I know you know well. And you know what? We're going to celebrate the goodness and the greatness of our God because He is great. But we do that corporately. But in Psalm 105, verse 1, we see another aspect of this. It says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Do we understand that when we celebrate God, we not only do it corporately, but we do it individually as well? I share the goodness of what God has done. Am I sharing with others what God has done for me? Do we understand this? Whether we're sitting here in the sanctuary or we're listening online, God has done a lot for you, hasn't He? Well, first of all, He went to the cross for your sin. He went to the cross for my sin. He defeated sin and death so that we could have the hope of eternal life. These are the things that God has done. It goes way beyond that, you know what, He let me have my favorite meal yesterday. It goes to the very core of who God is and that you are His creation. He loves you. He sustains you. All of this we celebrate. Whether or not we can meet back together or we have to stay in our homes, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So I want to give you a little bit of a homework assignment as we close. I want you to share your appreciation for God with someone this week. This is a little different than normal. A lot of times it's talk about who Jesus is. This is talking about who Jesus is. But you know what? People want to know why you follow God. Why do you love Jesus? Why do you tell them about this Jesus? Why do you want them to follow Jesus? Well, number one is because God is good. And what has God done for you? Share with somebody this week why you celebrate God. What has He done for you? Let them know. And celebrate God well. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, what a joy it is to be able to celebrate our Maker. We celebrate the fact that Your love endures forever. We celebrate the fact that you love us unconditionally. We celebrate that you are good all the time. We celebrate those things that we haven't even seen or noticed. Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to have grateful hearts. Help us to have thankful hearts. Help us to have lips that tell of the goodness of our God. And may we celebrate you. How great is our God. Amen.